Blog Talk Radio.
I'm looking to the help and present trouble.
Looking to the hills. Looking to the hills. Amen. Amen. We have hope. We have hope this morning. And we welcome those who are on the line. We welcome my wife and others who are becoming on, those who are on. We are here today to, just for a brief moment, for less than 30 minutes now, just to bring you a word from the Lord to start your day off. I believe we need to start our day off every day right. Right in the Word, right in the presence of God. Then it seems that your day will be a better day. Your day will be a guided day. Your day will be a brighter day. If you would allow God to lead you, then you can look to the hills and live to live again. Amen. Our topic for this morning is dealing with judging others. Judging others. We see it so often in the news. We see it in our lives. We always have an opinion, a critique about somebody else. You hear it every day. And so we're going to talk about it and see what God says about it through his written word, the Holy Bible. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, give us insight, give us wisdom, give us knowledge, and then give us the inclination to follow after your will once we've heard your word. Lord, we ask that you will just continue to guide us, direct us throughout this day from this morning until tonight. And if it is your will, we'll wake up bright tomorrow morning to begin a new one. We thank you for the days that have gone by, and we thank you for the days, months, and years still waiting for us, those of us who you have planned to work through in those days, months, and years. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your Son, Yahshua, who died on Calvary but rose again and lives forever in our lives and in our hearts. We thank you for that Holy Spirit who is the comforter, our paraclete, the one that you sent to guide us and lead us in perfect truth, to help us to mortify this body and to get ourselves right with you. And now, Lord, we thank you. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We thank you from all of our being. We thank you, for it is not through our own efforts, not through our own goodness, not through our own righteousness, but through your grace and your mercy, yea, may I say also, your blessings and your favor, that we find ourselves here today. So thank you, Lord. Now keep us in your perfect will this day and every day, we pray. Amen. Judging others. Opportunities for judging others are readily available to us. A summons for jury duty expects us to impartially judge whether a suspect is guilty or not guilty of a crime that they have been accused of. Every time we're called upon to vote and we pull those levers or push those buttons to select the candidate, we are asked to judge the integrity and worthiness of one candidate over and above another candidate. Even television court shows like Judge Judy, Judge Mathis, and the People's Court both entertain us and allow us to have the opportunity to judge the defendant in the wisdom of the judge's verdict. Judging others really seems to be an entrenched part of our human nature. Our fondness of judging others extends far beyond legal or civil matters, however, and certainly goes way beyond being entertained. Oh, yes, we judge more than just when we watch TV shows or when we're sitting in the jury box or when we're at the voting polls. We judge every single day. Sometimes we judge and take our minds off of our own deficiency in character. You know, character is who you really are. Sometimes instead of confronting it, we divert our attentions and set our sights on the perceived flaws and failings of others. Racism, prejudicial bias, antagonism, and hatred of a particular race or ethnicity by another race or ethnicity. Ableism, a negative perception of discrimination against people with disabilities. Sexism, the misguided belief that one sex, in most cases men, are by nature stronger and superior to the other sex, for the most part women. Religious intolerance, based on the belief that there is no right religion, denomination, church, synagogue, or mosque, but the one that you're in, and the belief that you believe, and the thing that you hold to be true. And then we have homophobia, the fear and hatred of people involved in same-sex relationships. All these attitudes of discrimination, of bias, of prejudice are a direct result in how we view and judge others. This was the type of judging of others that our Lord Yahshua Jesus spoke about while delivering his sermon on the Mount. Yahshua Jesus knew that we as finite, imperfect, judgmental humans would struggle with judging. That is why he sternly warned us against it when he said, and I'm quoting from him, found in St. Matthew chapter 7, and this is what he said, beginning at verse 1, "Do not judge, lest you be judged. For the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. And why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Well, how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." My, my, my. Stern words, hard words. Unyielding words in some respect. No room for wiggle there. Now, I must interject this. Many people take this passage as saying that our Lord is actually telling us not to judge anything or anyone's actions. Just keep your opinion to yourself is their philosophy. You're not supposed to judge. You're not supposed to have an opinion. You're not certainly not supposed to share it with anybody. Just keep your opinion to yourself. In most cases, I find it's those that are guilty of a sin, guilty of some transgression, that hold to this position that Christ is saying, judge nothing or no one. But I am here to tell you and to say to you that these verses are not saying that we should never judge. Obviously, we make judgments every day. We are called on to judge something all the time. And at times, that includes other people as well. What the Lord is saying to us, he's cautioning us to not judge others in a hypocritical way. He is telling us that before we correctly see the speck in someone else's eye or in someone else's life, first take the log out of your own eye. My wife used to preach a sermon years ago, and it was called The Man in the Mirror, taken from one of Michael Jackson's songs. And it talks about before you start looking all around you, take a look at yourself in the mirror. Take a look at yourself and take an honest look at yourself and see what you need to do to make things right with you before you start looking all around to find a scapegoat for you to put all of your interest in to try to get right. We shouldn't be so preoccupied with criticizing the actions of others that we refuse to see and address our own failings and our own flaws. Used to be an old saying, to thy own self be true. I'm trying to get you right, and I'm just as wrong as two left feet. Something wrong with that. The Bible goes on to teach, one, don't judge anyone by your own human limitations. We don't know the whole story about anybody's life. We don't know the situation that led this person or these people to do this or that thing. We don't know everything. We're limited. We're finite. We only know just as much as we are able to know. And we certainly aren't omniscient, meaning we know everything. We don't know. We know virtually nothing, actually, though we think we do. He says, don't judge anyone by your own human limitations. By your experience, No. Only God's judgment is flawless. And both of these points are made and found in St. John chapter 8, verses 15 and 16. The second point was made by Yahshua's brother, James, in his epistle, James 4, 11 and 12. This is what he says. Well, in essence, he's saying, I'm paraphrasing it now. We can read the verse if we wish to. But let me paraphrase it. I think it would take less time. Don't speak destructive things about others. Are you qualified to perfectly judge someone else? This is what, in essence, what James 4, verses 11 and 12 was saying. And finally, Paul says this, found in Romans 2, 1 through 5. This is now... We're explaining the passage here. He's saying in Romans 2, 1 through 5, don't be quick to condemn someone else's actions. God is patient, but he doesn't overlook anyone's disobedience, not theirs, not yours, not mine, not ours. Romans 2, 1 through 5. By judging others, in an unbiblical, hypocritical way, we pay an enormous price. We pay an enormous price, and all we do is criticize and tear down and condemn somebody else. We're paying a price for that. On the other hand, just as believers are not to condemn others, we are not to ignore sin. Christ never ignored sin. He loved the sinner, but he never ignored the sin, nor did he love the sinner in their sin. You understand that? I love you, but I don't love the way that you're acting. I don't love the way that what you're doing. That's against the will of God. I can't love that. It's repugnant to the nostrils of God. Sin, God, it says that God hates sin, so whatever God hates, I must hate too. But I'm not supposed to hate the sinner. I'm supposed to love my neighbor and even my enemy, according to Christ. So in order to condemn sin, I must, in some sense, act as a judge of others in a biblical way. It is important to know the difference between the judging mentioned in Matthew 7, 2 and 5, which condemns that hypocritical type of judging, and the righteous kind of judgment that comes with discernment. See, it's called judging versus perceiving. Discernment, that one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, is discernment. In John 7:24, our Savior, Yahshua HaMashiach, also says, stop judging by mere appearances, but instead judge correctly. Wow. See, mere appearance kind of judgment is racism. I don't like your skin. I don't like your skin color. I don't like your nationality. I don't like your people. I don't like your family. That's the wrong kind of appearance. Someone in a wheelchair, someone blind, someone with Down syndrome, someone that is some kind of spinal injury, someone who has lupus, or someone who has spina bifida, or whatever the case may be, they have some physical challenge, and we look at them and we judge them and we condemn them. That's judging by mere appearance. A man judging a woman in her qualification just because she's a woman, not because of her ability, not because of her intellect, but because she's a woman, she's paid less. She's not promoted as quickly. She's called an upstart, where a man is called being a man when he exerts himself. She's called something quite different, a female dog in some instances. That's judging by appearance. someone's wearing a hat, the Jewish cap that they wear, or a woman is dressed in her Islamic garb. And we critique them, and we judge them, and we condemn them because of their religious beliefs. That's judging by appearance. Someone is homosexual. We're judging by appearance. They got to dress a certain kind of way according to our standard. They got to be homosexual, but why they got to be so flamboyant? Why they got to be this? Why? We're judging by appearance. He says, stop judging by mere appearance. But instead, judge correctly. How is it that we're supposed to judge correctly? Well, he tells us. In Matthew 18:15-17, he says, if a believer sees another believer sinning, he is instructed to confront the person in a respectful and loving way. Matthew 18:15-17 says, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. That's how you start out, just between the two of you. Not get on the horn and talk about, you know, well, guess what, and all this. Go on TV, go in a public forum and try to lambast and condemn and pull down that person, destroy their character. Rather, we're supposed to go to that brother and sister one-on-one, and the two of you try to resolve the situation. But if they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take two or three or one or two others along. Not any old body, not the snoops of the bunch, not the gossips of the group, but those that will come to try to reconcile the situation, get that person back in right relationship with God. You know, the holy people, the really holy folk, not the ones who have the same opinion you do about it, but the real, sure enough people born again. That want to see folk saved, that want to see folk revived again, that want to see folk back in right relationship with God again. Those folk, you know those people. Stop choosing the one that you know has the same prejudices and biases that you do against the person. Pick somebody who's going to go right, as you need to go right. Finally, it says, so that every matter may be established by this testimony or two or three witnesses. And if still they refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector, meaning that you're not supposed to have anything to do with them. You're not supposed to lambast them. Just leave them alone. Leave them alone. Not tear them down, not try to talk about them, not condemn them to the world. Just leave them alone. It's sad that we can't even do some of this anymore in the modern day church, because we're going wrong first. That one on one ain't gonna be right, because I'm going wrong with my own little prejudices, my own little hypocrisies, my own little puffiness, you know, that little pride thing that I know I'm right and you wrong, and I'm gonna go to let you know that you're wrong. We can't even take we only know two or three people that we can go to take with us that will be impartial. And we certainly are. We better not take them to the whole church, and particularly if you don't want a mega church like T.G. Jakes or a church like Osteen, Joel Osteen's church, 35,000 people. Take them to the church. Oh my goodness! Better not take them to the church. Better not take them to a church that only has five members in it, because those five members are going to tell five others, and they're going to tell five others, and then the whole thing going to be out in the street. We got to go back to where we need to be in this thing. We need to get our, that's why I say we need to, like my wife said, you better look into that mirror. Look into the mirror and see what you need to do to get right. So when people do falter along the way, you can bring them right back to where they need to be, like you've been brought back to where you need to be. I'm a Christian. I can't say I've always lived a holy life as a Christian. But thanks be to God, because of his mercy and because of his grace, he reestablishes his relationship with me every time I come to him. He don't throw back in my face every time I come. That's Satan's job to accuse. That's Satan's job to condemn. It's God's job to restore. And he will. And we must take that same attitude ourselves. The ultimate goal of confronting the person is to bring repentance, not condemnation. In this sense, we are called to judge sin, always with the goal of repentance and reconciliation. Never with a mind to tear down and destroy. Because Christ said also in that Sermon on the Mountain, if you call somebody a fool, you're in danger of hellfire. You're in danger. What kind of place they're in, you're in danger of hellfire. Be careful what you say, how you say it, and the temperament by which to approach the person about their sin. Yeah, we have to judge. Yes, we need to confront sin head on. But do it with a spirit of reconciliation. Do it with a spirit of love. Do it with a spirit of compassion. And you and they will be blessed. In conclusion, let us heed the words of the Apostle Paul, who wrote these words in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is what he says, and we need to remind ourselves of this. Chapter 5, verse 10 of 2 Corinthians says this: For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, which means paid back for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or whether bad. Christ showed compassion. Yes, Christ pointed out sin. Oh, there's no doubt about that. I remember the woman that was caught in adultery, and the men were ready to stone her. Some were Pharisees, some were Sadducees, some were just guys on the road, just ready to add their 2 cents into the situation. And Christ told them, he's without sin, cast the first stone. And as they looked at each other, as he was writing their sin down on the ground, they began to drop their stones. And when all had left, he turned to the woman and said, who condemned you? She said, no one. And he said, neither do I. And then he says, go and sin no more. Did it with compassion, with reconciliation, with a sense of love. Drove away those that were going to kill her. But he then told her that though there is no one here to condemn you, I'm saying to you, go and sin no more. Well, dear hearts, we're through. It's almost 7:30 now, and we're about through. All I want to do is remind you of what we said in the beginning, what Christ himself spoke again when he said, do not judge, lest you be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Judge as Christ judged, with love, compassion, a spirit of reconciliation, a restoration. Show the world that we can love people back into right relationship with God. Not hate them, not try to browbeat them, not try to pull them down, but we can love you back into a place where God can use you. God bless you. God be with you until we meet again. Goodbye, and have a wonderful, wonderful, blessed day.